Is that an agreement? Okay. So we are up against, I got to see what, how much time we have left. It's 2:45. So probably enough time if anyone wants to maybe start out with how we want to present this next issue. Do we have any hands? Penny?
Yeah, pick on Donna. You want to come up with and share some of the things that you shared this morning. It was very helpful because we kind of had a little head start talking about stuff at the house, but and this is where the old guard can come and lay out. You know, you talk about where being able to come to the treasury maybe for some things and for not, and how you make that choice. I'm not going to be able to say it as good as you, Donna. Come on. Yeah.
I guess as a compliment, old guard, I'll take it as one. Is this about last night? Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about, let's say if Mobile got an invitation, which to California, I mean, it wouldn't even be. And then let's say we got one to California, we got one to Dothan. We would obviously. You want to come up here, Penny? We'll share it. No, I'm just kidding. We would obviously go to Dothan because just financially, of course, the distance, but even putting the financial burden, I mean, there's no way Mobile could afford for everyone to fly to California. Maybe a few people out of the congregation could, and then the rest couldn't. So either the church would pay for them to go, or they would just stay back, and we wouldn't. That just wouldn't be feasible. So myself, as an older one, and the older ones would obviously, I would direct the church to go to the closest congregation, because again, of finances and even those that can't travel. Traveling is pretty tough. It's pretty hard. So I would put in my 2 cents to let's go where all of us could go, you know, and a closer and financially something we could all do. And just kind of remembering, I know I was talking to wherever LaRonda is, just the, what the meetings are all about. I mean, I go way back, way, way back. And, they're what they were all about. They were gathering together and having talks and, you know, learning scriptures and doing what we're doing. And I'm talking about like November meetings, and I was talking about May weeks. And that's what they were all about. It wasn't so much, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, you know, meeting somebody and all that. That's all part of just being human. But that wasn't what the meetings were about. And so I think sometimes we can lose, you know, well, let's go over here because there's a bunch of someone, you know, young ones to meet and young ones want to go here, kind of like what Nicole was asking. And now our meetings are based upon something other than what they really should be or what they were or what they started to be. And I think maybe we just need to go back to, you know, remembering. So I'm just talking from what I would do, how I would guide our congregation. I know the dynamics of my congregation. I know, I mean, not intimately financially do I know them, but I certainly know what direction financially we could all go in and we could all go, and even physically, you know, where everybody pretty much stands. So is that what you're talking about? And just again, remembering what these meetings are all about and why we started them many years ago.
Okay, Kim.
I know each congregation is autonomous and they can make their decisions where they want to go to a meeting. But I guess the concern comes up on how we're judging this when it's not really, we're not agreeing to just go wherever we want to. The church is deciding, or the congregation is deciding to go to two various separate meetings. So it's, we are making a decision to go separate places where you have maybe a certain portion is deciding to go one place and some are deciding to go to another place. And it's not quite the same as just an open meeting. But I think one of the things that needs to be considered is by this being done, the practice of it, the precedent it sets, and maybe the things that are getting lost in the judgment. Number one, the hardships that we place upon brethren of trying to save that kind of money to go on a trip. Because, I mean, I understand, I believe our desires are to be with each other, but it does put a burden on the brethren. And sometimes it starts off with brethren thinking they can't afford to do it and gets towards the end and people are coming up short. And then the church is kind of scurrying, trying to figure out, do we ask others for the money or do we go to the church? So that puts it, the difficulty there. It also leaves others behind. And the concern with that is then sometimes the sick are left to go to the nearest congregation. And then you got to figure out who's going to drive the sick to that congregation. And I think it's kind of a subtle thing, but it kind of causes this separation of, well, you, since you are sick and you are not physically well and can't go, then we're all going to leave you because we're well and we're going to go to this other congregation. It's this subtle message it sends. Because I know in Stanton, when we would make the decision where to go, the brethren that are not legal citizens, that very much factored into our judgment. Because could you just imagine all of a sudden all those that have legal, you know, citizenship are all going different places, and then we leave them to go where? To, it's almost fending for themselves, and that's not what we're about. I think, too, even the duration of these meetings, when you're traveling these distances, now you've got brethren that are called to babysit, not for a short time. They may be babysitting from Wednesday to Saturday. You put it in additional responsibility on your brethren so you can travel. The other thing is the message that it sends of insufficiency where I'm going to go, that it's like they've got more to give me in this other congregation than where I'm going to go. And isn't Holy Spirit isn't confined by geographics. So now, if I go to California because I just want to hear the brethren in California, well, I mean, my word, we've seen even how God has worked in this meeting. It's like, I mean, we have been given, you know, exactly what God saw that we needed to be given. And then lastly, and it's already been touched on, is the motive the reasons that now we make these decisions. Sometimes I think we just have to scrape down a little bit deeper. Is it really motivated by spiritual thinking, or is it more for adventure, finding mates? And even on that note, because I know we want our young people to get married, but I also think, too, our young people have such an ability to go various places. I mean, I first came to the church, nobody flew anywhere. I mean, it was just not feasible. We didn't have the resources. It's different today. We have the resources today, so we can do that. But back then, that wasn't even an issue. Our young people are very connected through cell phones, Marco Polo. I mean, they know each other, you know, quite well. And during those meetings that the church doesn't decide to go someplace, they're going various places, you know, and visiting. So they have that availability. I don't want us to feel like, oh, they're deprived, they're not going to find somebody, because I certainly don't believe that is there. So I know what we really wanted just to cause us to consider is, it can almost seem a little bit benign. What does it matter if, you know, our congregation decides, well, you know, the ones that can get to fly and the ones that can't go to the nearest meeting. Because I think it's all the messages that it, that's the word I'm looking for. It's feeding some thinking to the congregation that I think is not healthy. And then it causes brethren to abandon just the aiding of assisting getting brethren to various places, because it's a big work. I mean, you know what it's like. The last minute, somebody needs a ride. Somebody needs gas. But when you've got your ticket, you're not thinking about that. So then it starts causing this lack of mindfulness for others and this care for them. And I know even with our aged brethren, some of us that have taken care of parents, we realize it's a work even on slowing down your life, because everything is slower. Got to walk a little slower. And so I thought with all of those thoughts, I think we really have to consider the precedent that it begins to set when we decide to do this. Now, does it mean we shouldn't, extend invitations to various places? You know, I certainly don't want to approach that necessarily, but I think we do need to consider if we're kind of getting beyond ourselves as far as these extreme places. From coast to coast, it's very expensive and very time-consuming, and it puts a lot even on the hosting congregation as well as those that are coming in. So there's a lot to consider, but I think most of all, I think it's the spiritual aspect of just the concerns for our brethren and this mind of, I just want to hear this other person in California, because then it somehow can get into our thinking that our brethren where we are just aren't going to be edifying. And it's a kind of a subtle message that it sends, that it's like, I want to believe that where we go, that our congregation, we're all going to be edified just like those that would go to a meeting that's further.
Penny? Yes, Penny, go ahead.
I think even some of the traveling from congregation to congregation started where we felt some congregations were left out, like Alaska or Montana, and trying to get them to come, you know. And then, of course, we all want to get together, but I think that it did start wanting to consider it. I think if we go back, because those congregations will travel, but even on that, Joan said it in the kitchen this morning. Kitchen was really fun. But she said that they were even kind of counseled to only go so far. And I can't remember why, Joan. You'll have to come up and say it. Because the time in the air and the time that you'd be able to have the fellowship is cut into the further way that you go. And if you want fellowship, go to the closest place so you can have more time to fellowship.
Oh, go ahead, Chris.
All right, so I don't have a. You're raising your hand.
Yeah, Jack had his hand.
I'm okay. I'm not okay. Oh, okay. A lot of okays in there. I know when we had the opportunity, we were offered to go in Minnesota, and then we were offered to go to Colorado Springs. And one of the things that came in our judgment was Mobile, because being there, we know the dynamics of Mobile, and they're getting older congregation, and we know some of the things. So we had decided that we had to take into account Mobile, or we decided to take into account Mobile. And also, we took into account our infirm there. And I want to just present, maybe as we walk through this, a couple of scriptures that hopefully they may help. The carefulness that the Apostle Paul had, I was thinking for his brethren, that whatever that he would do, you know, he always seemed to take them into consideration for example, in eating meat, you know, even if the world stood, lest I make my brother offend. I know it's, we're talking about something different, but just a point that he always thought about his brethren at, you know, certain given points, you know, of his life. You know, he was a very non-self-serving man, selfless man. But the one that I thought to maybe to contribute for our conversation, which I kind of, is over in 2 Corinthians 8 in verse 13 through 16. Yeah, I think I was just thinking this kind of helps at times where the Apostle Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 8:13, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burden, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for their want, that there may be an equality. For it is written that he that hath gathered much had nothing over, he that had gathered little had no lack." Just a point here, though, is that this thinking about maybe the equity in it all, you know, that maybe I could afford it, but it may be easy for me, but burdensome for someone else. And sometimes just thinking that and bringing that into account, that maybe that could be somewhat of a predicate for the things that we do, that will it impose a burden upon someone else, and it's unintended consequence because, you know, we're not thinking about it, but perhaps because as you project out to November or December, whenever the meeting is, we know the tickets are going to go up more and more and more and more and more, and then possibility that, you know, then here comes the burden unintended, because then they may have no place to go. So I just wanted to offer up that scripture and maybe just kind of, you know, thinking along those lines too, that we don't mean to ease one and accidentally burden somebody else. So I just wanted to give those couple of thoughts.
Okay, I'm wondering if we want to maybe, it's 3 o'clock already, and I'm wondering if we maybe want to hold just for now, and then if we need to come back after our meal and go back into it or whatever we decide to do. We've had a lot presented already to just kind of think about. So if there's no objection to that, can we just do that? Maybe have a song and a prayer and just go from there. Jack? Okay, Jack was asking, are there any other angles that have not been presented that would maybe alter the way we're looking at it? Stuart?
Just one, and I certainly can see what's being said, but I know what I have seen over the last few years. Sometimes the closer congregations may be already full, and you may not get a invitation from the closer congregations. And then you do get invitations from congregations that are further away. So that might be something we want to maybe address that as well, because sometimes, and if I'm not mistaken, there have been once or twice where we didn't get invitations for closer congregations, but we got ones from that were further away. And then, could be mistaken on this too, but I think we've even asked, well, what about coming here? Well, we're full. There's no more. We've already have this many congregations coming. So might want to think about that too as we discuss this and decide how we would handle that.
Okay, Penny.
It's kind of funny that came up in the kitchen too. How that sometimes you get invited, then you get uninvited, but the closest congregation is the closest one you can get to. If you're not invited, then that is not a close congregation. So if, you know, you're going to take your options that you have or opt to stay home and have your own meeting, so you have two choices. And of course, one is going to be in consideration of everybody in your congregation.
Okay. Tom?
I'm not going to launch into some big diatribe here. So, but I just wanted to say, too, because, I mean, literally what we're doing is we're giving pros and cons now. I mean, because there are extenuating circumstances, and those likewise can keep going. So I think what we're really trying to say is that it's not wrong, it's not unlawful, okay? But like everything, we've got the expedience on the other side. So we've got a way out, you know, what's really kind of lawful for us, but maybe not expedient for us. And so I'm not sure we're going to be able to come up with closest congregation that you're invited to. I mean, all that becomes more little things that we have to make sure we check off first, which is not what we're about here. We're just talking about the overall. Yeah, because definitely I see your situation. I can see Montana. I could see, you know, Anchorage. I mean, there's definitely things. There may be some situations that no matter what, if I just went by the closest congregation, it's always the exact same people. And quite honestly, you do want to go in to get a little bit more intermixing in there. So I don't know that we want to go so far as to say, you know, those kind of things, but they're definitely high considerations. When you add each one of those elements together, you realize that, okay, that there's money, there's people left behind, there's all these things that Kim was sharing. I mean, all of those are certainly things to be weighed out together with the things, again, that may take place there or somewhere else that say, hey, you know what, but, boom, you know. So with that, I mean, we might see that this is a little easier to come to a conclusion than we think. It's just a matter of judgment. And I think if we just kind of really think about what's best for our congregation and everybody considered, I have a feeling that we'll come up. I think that what's kind of happening here is that we're seeing something, you know, how things kind of get started, you know, and next thing you know, it gets out of control. Hey, you know, so-and-so's flying. Well, why don't we do that? And then next thing you know, it's like, why don't we all fly? Why don't we all fly everywhere? And it's kind of like, wait, stop. You know, we're just kind of jumping on the bandwagon here. Let's step back. And that's what older brethren are supposed to do. They're supposed to see the exuberance of youth, you know, let's do it. We can do it. We got it. And say, okay, you know, that's great, but let's consider this, this, and this. Calm it down. Give it a little guidance, set the direction maybe where it's more logical, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to guide the flock in making some of these decisions with judgment.
Okay. Richard, did you still want to? Okay, you're good? Okay, so with everything that's been said, do we want to maybe go ahead and table it for now and then decide what to do after? Okay, would we like to have a song or just go into a prayer? Jack? Okay.